There was one other possession I was given that I forgot to include earlier on, so I better not miss it out altogether. This shell, Maureen. Actually, it's got something written on it. I need new glasses, by the way. Okay. What particular significance does that have for you? This belongs to you. Okay. So there's a whole family link there, a whole family sense of belonging. So thank you for bringing that in. Sorry, I left it out earlier. Okay. Anyway, so it's been a while, hasn't it, since we were together like this. You sat there and looking attentive at this particular moment, and hopefully you still will. And me stood here. It's been a while, hasn't it? And maybe some of you are thinking, well, that's not a bad thing. Because, can I be honest with you? Well, I'm thinking it's been a good thing too. But then I'm the one who's been blessed with the time out on sabbatical. Thank you again for that, by the way. But here we are again as God's people, taking part in this sermon together as we listen out for God speaking to us and filling us. Notice what I just said there, taking part in this sermon together, because I know how much you just love it so much when I ask you questions and want a response. Or even more, when I get you to turn to people in small groups around you and have a chat and then give me some feedback. I know how much you love doing that. Not. So don't panic. That's not actually what I mean. When I'm using that phrase, taking part in this sermon together, I'm realizing that I'll be the one doing the talking and you'll be doing the attentive listening, won't you? Yeah, good. Okay. But we're taking part in it together in the sense that in what we're sharing, we're listening out for God speaking to us, aren't we? We're listening out for God speaking into our lives, shaping us, directing us, challenging us, changing us. That's what we're doing together. And when we bring all of that together, then later on, we share in our response to the word of God. We'll come back to that. But for now, let's pray that our hearts and minds, Lord, will be focused on you. And your word, help us not to read this as something that is relevant for people a long time ago, but actually it's real and vibrant and living for our lives now. Father, help us together to be attentive to your voice. Enable that to be something we take on board. And Lord, those parts of our lives where this word for this morning needs to challenge us, enable that to happen. Where it needs to shape us, reshape us, to mold us closer into your likeness as your church and as your people together. Then Lord, do that, we pray. Amen. So last week, as part of this teaching series we're working on together, it's helping us to revisit what church is all about and how we express that as this particular church. Keith walked us through the history of how Baptist churches came into being, didn't he? Do you remember that? Yeah? You know, essentially, it happened through rebellion, wasn't it? It was when Christians got to the point of wanting to claim back the heart of the church as belonging to God and being about living in relationship together with the one who calls us to be like him. And that rebellion was needed all those years ago to give that right focus on Jesus being central to the life of the church, not having it be something about following rules and regulations and stipulations set in place by an empire or a monarchy or something else. You know, our rebellion as church then and now is built on the word hope, isn't it? So do you know what? I was so excited earlier on in the summer when I saw this poster for the first time. You can just about read at the top of it, a rebellion built on hope. That's church, surely. Happens to also have been picked up by the makers of the next Star Wars film, launched on the 16th of December. I might be busy that day. So a rebellion built on hope. Just think about those words for a moment, because they're so significant for us as church. You know, that's how Jesus was viewed when he was crucified. He was the rogue that needed the rogue one, that like says on there. He was the rogue that needed to be gotten rid of, gotten out of the way. And it was the same at the time when John Eccles, who founded this church in 1666, that's how he was viewed, the rogue one who ended up in prison for going against the rule of the state over the church at the time. It's the same still. Hold this in mind as we take our next step in this teaching series, to think about the difference that church makes to us, how this word belonging happens through the church. That's our focus this morning, this core word of belonging and how it makes a difference to all that we're seeking to do and be together in Jesus' name. I want you to listen out for that sense of belonging as I read to you from Ephesians 4, following your Bibles if you've got them with you. We need to hold on to this because unless we get this view of belonging right, then these words are going to make no sense at all. And we are building here on the passage I referred to earlier on in 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul talks about the body of Christ being held together in Christ. Many parts all having their important place and their significance, all held together in Christ. And then here Paul is building on that as he's talking about unity in the body of Christ. That sense of belonging that brings us together in unity in the name of Jesus. So let's look at this passage together. I'm going to read down to verse 16, but miss out a couple of verses along the way. So I'll let you know where I'm going as I get there. So this is Ephesians 4, verse 1. Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Verse 11, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and so become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So more words there then, describing the church as a body, a sense of belonging, a connectedness, belonging to Jesus as the head of the body and those who make up the church as belonging to each other as the body of Christ. You know, within that, the word belonging needs to be held securely. It needs to be understood and expressed because otherwise when we get to mention in verse 13 of unity and about being mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, unless we get our understanding right of our belonging together in Jesus' name, none of that is ever going to be possible. And you know, without the word belonging being fully understood and expressed, then this mention in verse 15 of growing up in Jesus with him as our head, the head of the church, well, that's just not going to happen. So we need to think about this carefully. So here's our task then. We need to think about making sure that we don't obscure what belonging really means. We need to be able to have a look in the Bible and understand what the Bible says to us about belonging. And we need to bring all of that together as we as church demonstrate a godly sense of belonging. So let's think about this. Let's not let anything obscure our understanding of belonging. It's more than just that Star Wars poster that's grabbed my attention over the last few months. You'll be pleased to hear. But other things that I've seen, other things that have, other images, other things that I've seen, have really grabbed my attention around this whole sense of belonging and how it's expressed some ways in one place and some ways in another. So here's the first one. This for me is about this next image. This is about belonging being redefined. I saw this on the BBC website. I think it was when I was away in Bosnia. This advert letting us know that Australia is relocating. Now that really got my attention because when somebody relocates, they pack up their home, don't they, into a big van and they move. and they go somewhere else. Work relocates them. How on earth do you do that with a country? You know, it belongs in a certain place. You can't redefine where Australia belongs, can you? Because it's fixed on the face of the planet. But apparently, because Australia moves by 7 centimetres north every year, then sat-nav isn't quite working so well, and so GPS coordinates need to be reset. We can't redefine what belonging means all the time, can we? And then back in June, we had another example. This one, is, for me, is about belonging being rejected. However you voted, whatever you thought then, whatever your political view about Brexit was in June, whatever it is now, for me, this looks like a sense of belonging being rejected, being turned away from. We don't know whether it's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. That's going to be a long time before we really understand that fully. But here is a decision to reject, in some way or other, a sense of belonging and togetherness, isn't it? And then we get another one. We've had belonging redefined, belonging rejected, and now we have belonging being destroyed. So it's just one image of many thousands on the internet now of Aleppo and other places in that country. Belonging being destroyed. Lives, communities ripped apart, can't belong there anymore because everything is destroyed. So one more example, and then we'll have a think about what the Bible says in each of these situations. This one I'm labeling belonging being exaggerated. Okay, so this is the an article that was published in our wonderful Bromsgrove Advertiser this week with the headline on it, Bromsgrove, best place in region to be a girl, study says. So Hannah noticed me looking at this saw that headline, and she went, yes. Well, I was quite impressed with that, because obviously for her, there's this sense of belonging in Bromsgrove, and this made her feel good. And then we got to looking at the article together, and I explained to her that that claim was being made on the basis of a study that looked at 5 key indicators that concluded that this is the best place to be for girls, teenage girls. We explored this together, discovered that one of those important key indicators was the rate of teenage pregnancies. What it means is that Bromsgrove is the best place to live because you're less likely as a teenage girl to get pregnant. Really? So Hannah's excitement, I'm pleased to say, plummeted. She was no longer impressed by that claim that this is the best place in the region to live because of the criteria that was being set against that. Belonging redefined, rejected, destroyed, exaggerated. We're not painting a very good picture here, are we, so far? What's happened to belonging built on nothing less than hope that I mentioned earlier on? Where has that gone? You know, when we look away from Jesus, all that's understood or demonstrated about a sense of belonging is going to be obscured by everything else that gets in the way. Christ-like belonging then gets redefined, rejected, destroyed, exaggerated. Other criteria come into play, not Jesus. But you know, when we keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, when we're totally open to God through being his church, and something else significant is happening, a right perspective on belonging is held on to. It's at the core of everything in Jesus' name. And it is for us as church, isn't it? We belong together as the body of Christ that we label Bromsgrove Baptist Church. We need to make sure then that whatever we're doing together as church in Jesus' name, that we are never obscuring the importance of belonging in Christ together. How do we do that? Well, we need to understand something of what the Bible says on belonging. You know, for some things in the Bible, there are just one or two places that you can turn to. You'd like the go-to verse to find out about certain things. If you want to know about God's creation and how that all began, well, where are you going to look? You're going to go to the first couple of books of Genesis, probably, aren't you? You're not going to get stuck in the Minor Prophets to find out about creation. Your go-to verse is going to be in Genesis. If you want to read about the prophecies and predictions about the end of time, you're not going to get stuck somewhere at the beginning of the New Testament. You're going to go to the end of it, aren't you? Your go-to verses are going to be in Revelation. So what do you do then if you want to find out about a godly perspective on belonging? Where are you going to go in the Bible? You know, there is no one or two go-to verses for this, because this biblical perspective on the word belonging, it's there from beginning to end. It's never removed. It's always there. It's right through the whole Bible. And we've started in Ephesians. We kind of jumped straight in there into Ephesians. And the need to fully understand and fully express this sense of belonging in unity, so that as church and Christians together, we will be mature and attain the whole measure of what it means to be in Christ. But that's not where the Bible starts its perspective on belonging, the way that God wants us to understand it. We can look at Genesis 17, verse 7. We can read the words there, the words of the Lord. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. That is a significant verse. This sense of belonging, where God is saying, you are my people, and that will never change. We can build on that and look at Exodus 6, verse 7. God says, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Belonging is there. We are the people of God and he is our God, our Lord, Jesus, our Savior. You know, all the way through those early books of the Bible, we read about God's people doing life together. Everything they did was focused on the Lord who they were serving. How they identified themselves as being part of a particular community of God's people was important. Whether that was about a tribe or whether it was about an individual family unit or some other criteria, whatever it was, this belonging together is very evident all the way through those early books of the Bible. It's all about belonging to God as his people. That's right at the heart of everything that we read there. And we can carry on with that. We can go to lots of other places through the Old Testament. But let's just jump straight into the beginning of the New Testament, where we see Jesus calling 12 men to be his disciples, to journey with him. Surely there's a sense of belonging, a sense of identity in doing something significant together. The whole of Jesus' mission and ministry is built on the same thing, isn't it? It's all centered around relationship. He went to the downtrodden and the outcast to tell them that they belonged, that their identity was secure in him. He went and gave them a different message to what others would have done. And so we carry on. The Apostle Paul uses the same language of us belonging in Christ. He does that in all kinds of places in his letters. Perhaps one most significantly is in Romans 8, where that word in Christ is there. In relationship with Jesus. You know, nothing can change that. When we just use that word in Christ, we're saying we belong completely. We're held completely and securely. We're not just held a little bit, but we're held completely and securely in relationship, in Christ. Belonging is so significant there. If we go to verses in Acts about the forming of the early church after Jesus' death and resurrection, when Christians came together and formed what was then called church for the first time. We can't fail to notice all that was going on there was about a sense of togetherness, an identity, belonging together as followers of Jesus. You know, this identifiable way of demonstrating belonging, it's always been at the heart of God's relationship with his people. But not just that, their relationship with him. It's a two-way thing. This belonging is a two-way thing. And that's only ever defined in the Bible, in the language of adoption was a word Anita touched on earlier on. In words of relationship, of family, of togetherness, of belonging. It's expected. It's not something that's presented to us as kind of optional, take it or leave it. It's expected that this will be understood, embraced and demonstrated fully. And that's what we need to do, surely, as church today. Embrace this fuller understanding, this biblical perspective of belonging that's at the core of all we're seeking to be and do and have on full display through us as church. So how are we going to do that? Well, let's think about that. Let's think about letting church demonstrate belonging, because if we don't do this, then something is massively wrong. Our demonstration together as church of belonging happens in so many different ways, doesn't it? It happens when we worship together, sing together, when we break bread together like we'll be doing later on, when we're sharing meals together like we'll be doing in our harvest lunch. It happens when we meet together to seek the heart and mind of God for the future of his church, to discern vision and strategy together in the name of Jesus. That's what our church meeting is for, isn't it? That's why the church meeting is so important. That's why you hear me so often banging on about making sure, please, will you come to the church meeting, or let us know if you can't. They are important times for us to come together and demonstrate our belonging. You know, we demonstrate it as well through the way we care for each other, as we pray for each other, as we help each other in practical ways. It's there in our honesty and vulnerability as we live lives openly with each other, so we share life together. We need each other to keep on growing together in love and unity until we reach the full measure of living in Christ as his church. We're belonging together. It enables us to discover God's best in every aspect of our lives. This is distinctive for us as church, enabling each other to discover God's best for every aspect of our lives. It's about us being willing to be open with others, to seek God's truth, to have God's truth spoken into our relationships, our marriages, our parenting, our attitudes towards work, our attitudes towards anything. How we use our time, how we use our resources, every aspect of our lives comes together when we embrace belonging in Christ's name. You know, then we'll be better placed, won't we, to have our lives shaped around godly principles for living. None of this is new. I hope that, you know, if you've been coming to church here for, you know, a few weeks or for years, I hope that this isn't coming as a shock to you, as something new. This is how it's always meant to be. You know, as a Baptist church, we can then focus on two amazing gifts that we believe God has given to us to fully demonstrate our belonging together. Sharing life built on nothing less than hope. That's ours through Jesus. You know, both of these things I'm referring to as these amazing gifts. They have been central tenets of the Baptist denomination since its beginning, and they're built on solid biblical principles, both of them. The first is how we demonstrate our belonging to Jesus through baptism. That echoes the first part of the verse from Genesis we looked at earlier. Through my everlasting covenant with you, I am your God. We'll be hearing more about baptism when Tom Cox and Bewdley Baptist Church preaches next week. But just hold on to that. This is an important part of our belonging together. We demonstrate our belonging to God through profession of faith in the waters of baptism. The baptistry is full at the moment. So if anybody wants to get baptized before you go home, let me know. I can send Rachel home to get a change of clothes for me. That'd be fine. It's there for New Song to use this afternoon. But seriously, baptism is such an important demonstration of our faith as followers of Jesus. You know, the other one of these two gifts that I want us to focus on and think about is how we demonstrate our belonging to each other so that we complete the rest of that verse from Genesis where it says, and you are my people. Well, God says, you are my people together. He means that. In the past, we refer to how we demonstrate that here as membership. And many Baptist churches still do. We now call it covenant partnership because we realized as a church together a little while back we needed to regain this central biblical principle of belonging together in covenant community built on the word of the Lord. This is my everlasting covenant with you. I will be your God and you will be my people. Listen, this is God's gift to us. It's always been at the heart of how God's people have identified themselves and let their belonging to God and to each other shape how they are in covenant community together. You know, I doubt very much that in those earliest expressions of covenant community that I referred to from the Old Testament, I doubt very much that everybody always agreed 100% with what was going on around them. But they still identified themselves belonging to that particular covenant relationship that was being demonstrated in their midst. You know, I doubt very much that every person who belonged to the early church in the New Testament always agreed with those who were appointed to lead, or the structures that were put in place to enable church to grow and flourish more easily. But they would have still been counted in that number. You know, we read in Acts about how 3,000 were added to their number that day who were being saved. People were added to their number daily, those who were being saved. People still embraced their equivalent of what we call covenant partnership. You know, I know for a fact that since the first days of the Baptist church existing, there have been people who have decided that because of one insignificant thing or another compared to knowing Jesus, that it stops them from being willing to say, I belong to this church, and to show it fully and in every way, I will be baptized and be a covenant partner. Belonging is redefined, rejected, destroyed, exaggerated if we don't do that as church. You know, all that we express through covenant partnership is a reflection of our Baptist heritage. But listen, way more importantly, always way more importantly than that, it's a reflection of our God-given biblical principles of covenant relationship with each other. We belong together. It's there right through the Bible. You know, for nearly 350 years of Bromsgrove Baptist Church, it's been a core part of how we express our belonging together as God's people. And do we always get it right? No, we're not a perfect church. Do we make a hash of things at times? Yes, we do. Most of the time, do we do an all right job? Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord. We do, don't we? But this is about our belonging together, learning, growing together in unity to reach that full maturity of a demonstration of life and faith in Jesus. You know, if this is new to you and you want to know more about covenant partnership with Bromsgrove Baptist Church, then speak to me. We need to have that conversation. If this is something that you've heard before, or that you've heard mentioned before, but today it kind of somehow feels different and you know God is prompting you to re-examine it, rethink your decisions up to this point about covenant partnership, then talk to me so that we can journey in this together. Because we are the body of Christ, his church. We belong together in Christ's name. Please don't let anything get in the way of that. Please don't let anything get in the way of us growing together in unity through belonging until we reach maturity through attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so, Lord, as we pause to think about how we're going to respond to your word this morning, we simply and humbly say, first of all, Lord, we need your help with this. Father, we may have so many different thoughts buzzing around in our minds at the moment about one aspect of what we've just heard said or another. Lord, I pray that we will always, as your church, be open to hearing you, hearing your voice, and letting that shape and direct and challenge. Whether that's about some aspect of our life that, Lord, you long to journey with us in a particular way, in a different way maybe. Whether it's about us, how we bring that together and demonstrate our belonging together as church. Father, please don't let anything get in the way. Please don't let anything obscure our sense of belonging to you, Lord. Father, as we just pause in quietness for a moment, and Lord, we seek you and your directing. Amen.